This is the Daily Ebola Update from VOA Africa.
This is Jackson Vunganyi with the roundup of important events and information about the Ebola crisis from Africa, the U.S., and the world.
The World Health Organization official says 488 health workers have died in the West Africa Ebola outbreak. Local media report WHO representative Dr. George Kizerbo made the statement in Accra, Ghana, at a meeting of the Economic Community of West African States, or ECOWAS. He says 221 health workers died in Sierra Leone, 178 in Liberia, and 89 in Guinea. ECOWAS is planning to establish rapid response teams at national and local levels to help contain the Ebola epidemic. The latest official figures show that there have been more than 21,000 cases of Ebola in West Africa and more than 8,400 deaths. Children in Guinea started the school year yesterday after a five-month delay due to Ebola. Liberia plans to reopen schools next month. It's a sign of progress as those two countries turn the tide against the epidemic. But not everyone is sure the countries are ready. VOA's Anne Luke has the story with reporting by Karim Kamara in Conakry and Prince Williams in Monrovia.
Samson Wese's kids ask him every day.
Every day to be, I mean, Papa, when will we return to school?
He welcomes the Liberian government's decision to reopen schools in February. Authorities shut them back in July as Ebola cases surged.
My kids been sitting home and doing nothing, playing, running here and there, and nothing like education as well been going on. The more the children sit home, the more they get dull.
Authorities say schools will have all the necessary safety measures, like thermometers and chlorine for hand washing. But some parents in Liberia say they may keep their kids home a while longer. Mother Christine Thomas says she wants the World Health Organization to declare Liberia Ebola-free first.
So my fear here is if the children go to school and they, you know, come down with Ebola, it will not be too good for the parents who will be feeling bad. So we're hoping and praying that there will be a little bit of delay in this in the opening of schools.
In Guinea, teachers express the same concern. They worry about how to limit contact in what are often overcrowded schoolhouses. Teacher Amadou Diallo says the children play together during recess, and no one can stop them from doing that. The students also share food. He says he thinks reopening schools is a risky decision. Ebola is transmitted via contact with a sick person's bodily fluids. Throughout the epidemic, public health experts have downplayed the risk of contagion through casual contact. Teachers in Guinea told VOA that they, along with about 80,000 of their colleagues, have been trained on Ebola. Civil society groups had threatened to protest unless the schools reopened Monday. Now those civil society groups say they will go out and monitor schools to make sure there are hand-washing stations and that kids' temperatures are being taken daily and recorded. Fever is an early symptom of Ebola. Schools were only shut for 5 months in Guinea and Liberia, but the challenges are not over. Fear could lead to dropouts. School funding has been diverted to Ebola. In Sierra Leone, where schools remain closed, UNICEF Chief of Education Wangani Grace Nkomataula says teenage pregnancy is up. UNICEF is investigating reports of increased child labor.
The impact of the virus on the education system could be something that really reverses the gains that Sierra Leone has made over the years.
Liberia and Sierra Leone have been using radio and television to broadcast at-home lessons in the interim. But it's no substitute for a classroom, and not all children have had access. Taulo says whenever schools do reopen in Sierra Leone, teachers may need to work evening hours or hold weekend and holiday classes to help kids catch up. Anne Luck, VOA News.
Thank you.
There's some more good news on the Ebola front, with Mali announcing recently that it was Ebola-free. There have been no new cases in 42 days. In all, 6 people died from Ebola in Mali. And the World Health Organization has good news, too, regarding the 3 hardest-hit countries, Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. It says the number of new cases over the past 5 months is showing its first decline since the start of the epidemic a year ago. However, the International Emergency Response Organization, International Rescue Committee, IRC, warns caution should be used when interpreting what the declining numbers really mean. Emmanuel de Hartcourt is the Senior Health Director for the IRC. He spoke with VOA's Kim Lewis about the latest Ebola rates in each of the heavily affected West African countries.
Well, first of all, I think we have to be very careful in interpreting the numbers, and I think the story is different in every one of those countries. Our information and our interpretation of the numbers, based both on field realities and what we hear from other sources, is that the declines are definitely real in Liberia. They're probably real in Sierra Leone, and they're very uncertain as to their meaning in Guinea. So in terms of what the causes are of the reductions in Liberia, where we're very confident that this is a real reduction, it's primarily, in our view, because people, communities, have really gotten an understanding of the disease and decided to take action. And we see that at every level, at the level of the government, but also at the level of local administration and even at the level of villages. And we think that the similar dynamic is occurring in Sierra Leone.
What would you say the story is in Guinea?
So in Guinea, and I should be honest that the IRC doesn't have a presence there at the moment, though we worked there for 19 years, so have a lot of contacts in the country and a good understanding, I feel, of the underlying dynamic. But in Guinea, there's real questions about how real those numbers are. You'll have to remember that the whole epidemic in the 3 countries really flared up because the international community and WHO and Doctors Without Borders declared the epidemic over because there were no infections for 21 days. And in fact, what was happening was not that there weren't cases, but that they were being hidden. And the same dynamic that caused that epidemic to burn underground without being reported is still in place, meaning that people still do not trust the government. They still don't trust international organizations. And so we need a lot more confidence in the numbers before we really believe that there's actually a reduction.
What would you say then, based on this information, is the biggest or some of the biggest lessons learned in fighting this largest outbreak of Ebola?
One of the biggest lessons for Ebola is that you can't separate politics and public health. It's very important for public health professionals to understand that issues such as trust in the system, trust in the government, trust in the public health services is a vital element of our work. If we persist in looking at technical fixes, for example, of saying we're just going to do more training so that people know how to do surveillance, we're missing the key element of do people believe what they're being told on the radio or by government officials. And we really have to work on that. And obviously, we can't work on it just when there's an epidemic. We have to be able to view that as part of our work and part of the thing that we measure, which is how much trust there is in the system. And then we have to go and do things that build trust in the system. To some extent, we know what those things are. They're not easy to do, but they're also not impossible.
And that was the Ebola update from VOA Africa. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. For all the latest information on the Ebola crisis, listen to the news on VOA Africa 24 hours a day or tune into our special Ebola updates Monday to Saturday. You can also visit our website at www.voanews.com. For mobile users, the website is ebola.voanews.com.